Good evening. Welcome to Family Worship Center, and hello to our friends on Facebook Live. We're welcome you tonight, and we love y'all. Things to start before praise and worship. Tomorrow at 4 p.m., that's tomorrow the 27th, at the Lawrence County Day of Prayer, will be held at the Epworth United Methodist Church. Again, that's at 4 o'clock, so if you would like to go, they're asking that you enter through Butler Avenue, and go through that side entrance. Again, that's Lawrence County Day of Prayer. Now, if you guys are like me, lots of times when I walk in here, I'm talking and I'm not paying attention to that information counter out here. Please don't forget, Sunday, October 4th, that's next Sunday, at 10:30 a.m. here at the church, men and women's fellowship brunch downstairs. Please try to come. Everyone is asked to come and bring a brunch item. And I believe there's going to be a little ministry afterwards for men and women. So please sign up, because I know there's going to be more than just the 6 people that signed up there. So please sign up this evening. And the Jaywalkers, that is our new junior youth ministry, ages 10 to 15 on Wednesday evenings. The kids are loving this. Please invite kids, bring your kids, your nieces and nephews, your neighbors, allow them to enjoy what the teachers, this is Miss Kristen and Miss Liz, are teaching the class, and they're doing a wonderful job. And on Friday, October 9th, that's a Friday, October 9th, Maze Craze. It's a corn maze for the kids. Is it just for the kids or the whole? Anybody who wants to come, it'll be a lot of fun. It isn't just the kids that can have fun. So that's next Friday, October 9th. Pastor Chris and Kelly are at Fremont, Ohio, at our Bishop's Church. From what I understand, our bishop asked him to share this afternoon. Okay. And Kelly had one word. Pastor Kelly had one word to describe how he did. Wowza. Wowza. He was on fire, as he always is. So tonight we're going to enjoy Pastor Dan sharing the word with us. And now, praise and worship.
If you could stand, please. I hope you came to worship God. He's worthy to be praised. Holy Spirit, take my hand now, lead me out into living waters. You're the wellspring, you're the stirring, you're the life for your sons and daughters. As we're open to the unseen, and my faith is rising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Lord, now sing it out. your brother, give your hand, lift your eyes, you're open, eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud, lift your hand, give the Lord his glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still.
If you haven't already greeted someone, you could do that with this next song. But make sure you greet someone if you haven't already.
I could see the clouds rolling. I could feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved, my feet are on the rock. I could feel the waters rise. I could hear the howling mice that haunt me. Fear won't hold me now, my feet are on the rock. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock. I can see the morning light. I can feel the joy. Feel my hope about to break. I will cling to your unchanging grace. Yes, the waters come. dancing in the rain.
When I feel
my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock.
Rock, I stand on other ground to see this end. Just not for you to clap your hands, my feet are on the rock. On Christ the solid rock, I stand on other ground to see this end. Just not for you to clap your hands, my feet are on the rock.
On Christ the solid rock, I stand on other ground to see this end. Some soft to you to clap your hands, my feet are on the rock.
When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your heart. God. Things going on the way it is in the world, we can know, we can stand on the rock, which is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
The weapon may be formed, but it when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. My God will never fail. I'm gonna see. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Jesus, oh Jesus, victory is yours, Lord. The victory is yours, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Now I am a child.
Bound in perfect love.
child, God.
I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to be. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to be. I am a child of God.
I'm no longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fears.
Oh,
God. I am a child.
We're no longer
of
slaves
God.
Of fear. No
I'm
longer
no
fear
longer
slaves of anxiety.
Slave to fear.
We're no longer slaves to struggles in our lives.
I am a child of God.
I'm no longer.
I'm no longer.
We have the victory tonight. We have the victory every day.
I am a child.
We need to walk in the victory.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Jesus.
I am a child of God.
I'm no longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Some of you here might be struggling with anxiety. Some of you may be struggling with fear. Some of you may be struggling financially, spiritually. We're going to get into that, into the sermon that I have for you. And I really felt that was for somebody. I was going a certain direction and God took me a different direction. It's still the same sermon, but I'm going a different direction with it. If that's you, just pay attention, because I think God has something in store for you tonight. God has something in store for you tonight. Jesus. For I am a child of God.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
I am a child of God.
Thanks, guys. Oh, you may be seated. Like I said, God has something in store tonight. He's already been moving in this place. The number is few, but God is great. The world's been going crazy this past year. This is one of the craziest years I know probably anybody has ever went through. A lot of people have been affected by this work-wise or whatever. I haven't worked at my normal job since right after 4th of July. For those who don't know it, I work in fireworks. So fireworks have been greatly affected. It's affected my whole family because my three boys all work there too. So one of them is still working there, Jason. Not full-time, but mostly. But it's been crazy world, and we have lots to deal with, and we get anxious with stuff, and we get fearful for stuff, and there's a lot of things in life that we have to struggle, that we struggle with, physical, mental, financial, with relationships, with our jobs, unemployment, with addictions, with anxieties, with deaths or sicknesses of ourselves or our family members, or even spiritual struggles. There's a lady at work. I actually have another job. I'm teaching at a Newcastle Christian Academy this year. Just gave them 1 year commitment because I think I'm going to be laid off till at least probably April from fireworks. So I teach twice a week there, teaching computers. And it's all the stuff that I actually do at work. So it kind of worked out there. And that's where my wife works too. So it kind of neat thing there. But there's a lady at work that she just went Wednesday for a biopsy. And she just found out sometime yesterday that she does have breast cancer. But some of the stories that she was telling us on Thursday at our devotions, morning devotions, was crazy. She was just, and I'm not sure if we'll get all the stories straight, but one of the people that would receive the sample and would actually be in charge of testing it was one of the, I believe, one of the former, maybe a present mother of a student at our school. So she actually contacted her and said, hey, I've been in prayer all this morning before you've been coming, even into, you know, it was Wednesday, and before you even come, that God's just going to be there. Well, then when she got there, she said, well, so-and-so is going to see you right now, and it just happens to be someone else she knew from the school, and she was the one that's, like, running the office, and she, like, you know, is the one that's in total control there, and she felt a peace about it, even though she kept on saying, I don't know if I have cancer or not, but I know God's in control. And that's, I believe, how we need to live life. And it's easier said than done. The title of tonight's sermon is Living Balanced in an Unbalanced World. God gave me this several months ago. And one of the people I follow, Christian rock artist, blues artist, actually came up with that in one of his podcasts. That title, and I took it from him. I didn't take anything else from him, just took that. But I don't think he would mind. But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the struggles aren't real. I'm not saying that all of a sudden they're just going to disappear from you. I'm not minimizing any of the struggles. All I know is God is bigger than any struggles or situations that we have. It doesn't mean the situations or the struggles are going to, well, let me retract there. Doesn't mean the situations are going to go away. I believe the struggles will go away in regards to how we accept it. If we know God is bigger than that situation, then we shouldn't be struggling. We know that situation is there. So we can live and have that peace, that peace that passes all understanding. You know, that's an old saying, and I don't know if all of you are aware of that, but it's a really old saying. I remember from when my dad was a pastor, way back when I heard it, you know, then a peace that passes all understanding. We could have stuff going on, but we could have peace. My youngest son, was born 14 weeks early. You know, he was due September 4th. He's born June 1st. That's how early he was. He was real, real small, and, of course, we weren't expecting it. You know, we weren't expecting him. And the whole time I had that peace that passes all understanding. I just knew that God had it. You know, God had it under control. When we talk about these things, about the situations, it's about balance. And I'm going to kind of bear with me. Does everybody, I'll keep on talking while I'm walking. Does everybody remember the balance beam from, I don't know if everybody took that in school. I don't know if I ever did. I know when I came to the trampoline, every time I went to do the trampoline, something happened. I think one year I end up, I had my head wrapped up in gauze bandage because I was playing army and I got injured. Ran into a truck. It wasn't moving. It was just sitting still, but, long story. And then the next time we end up moving, the day we were supposed to go on a trampoline. But for balance beam, I remember doing that. But balance beam is, and I'm not going to fall. Please don't be scared. Balance beam is a tricky thing. And you see some of these people that are on it, these gymnasts that are on it, and they're like doing all these things. And I'm not going to do any of that stuff because I will hurt myself. So the balance beam, you just go back and forth. You have to, sometimes they do a mount onto it, and then they have to, everybody does the dismount off. And I would have to crawl up. They'd probably have to have a ladder or step stool for me to get up there. I'd probably get up. It would be one of these things, you get up on one side and you fall off the other side. But when I was thinking about the sermon, living balanced in an unbalanced world, I thought of the balance beam. And then I thought about that, and I really thought about that. The balance beam is the road that we're going on. And Randy, if you would put up the, what is it, math, Matthew 7:13, please. And I'm reading from the New International Version, which the narrow road. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That narrow gate, that narrow road represents the Christian walk, because everybody can walk on the wide road. If you have the choice, you're not going to. I know my wife doesn't like to drive on the roads that have the ditch that goes to the edge. You know, a lot of people don't like doing that because they're afraid that you just move over a little bit, you're done for. Christian life, we're walking on that narrow road. Let me see if I just need to stop doing this. Almost locked over the water. The narrow road, I was thinking about this, and what it is, on a gymnast, they go back and forth. Christian walk is walking forward, and you don't want to go here, you don't want to go here, and you definitely don't want to go there. You got three ways you don't want to go. Jesus is the way, one way. So over here is the wrong way. This is the past. We don't want to live in the past. That's where a lot of our anxieties come from. This is where Jesus is, and this is where we need to go. Sometimes we get off on our path because we want to do our own thing. We go off this way, or we go off this way. And I know when I went to Bible college to become a pastor, and I became a pastor for a little bit. I'm going to, please don't be afraid of this. But I got it. I might regret that later. But I went to Bible college. I was called into the ministry when I was 13 years old. And I stayed with that. You know, I really believed God wanted me to go. I went to Bible college then, right straight from high school. Everything that I did, I prepared for that. And as I was in college, I started working, and I started working and more and more and more. And I got away from the things that I was supposed to be there for, you know, doing ministries. And I even sometimes wasn't even, a lot of times, not going to church, because the first year I worked very little. Second year, halfway through, I ended up working security. And I worked security guard like at night. And then I would go to bed, you know, go to classes, go to bed, and go back to work. And any waking moment I had, I wanted to have fun. So the security job, I could have been studying, but I didn't stay with the path. Well, then I ended up working and working. I never graduated from college. I ended up getting married. I got promoted to the second highest position in this company, which was a Christian company. And I kind of was justifying it, but it was nagging me in the background. The Holy Spirit was, and I don't take that as a negative thing, but maybe the nagging isn't the correct word, but nudging me, you know, saying you need to get in, you know, you need to get back to the call. You need to get back to the call. So finally some things happened, and I just said, you know, we need to move out of the area. We live near Philadelphia, and we needed to get out of there. We moved out of there. I started working another security job. And I called my pastor of my last church, and he happened and says, my brother-in-law preaches right down the road. So I went there, and I don't know how many months later, I ended up being a youth leader. And I was there for several years, got my license as a pastor, was youth pastor at another church, and eventually became a pastor, and that's why we moved here. Due to some struggles, we got away from that, but I'm so blessed that I'm in this church, because I fill in, and I kind of fill in the gaps for Pastor Chris, because Pastor Chris can't do everything. There's a lot of people here that fill in the gaps for Pastor Chris here, and we all have our strengths and weaknesses, you know, whether it's just, you know, taking the temperature of somebody or greeting people or I told Chris when we were leaving last night, I said, I will not preach if there's no mints in that little bowl out there. And so I was going to text him today, because he actually texted, hey, we're praying for you. And I was going to say, you're lucky there was mints there. And that's not a struggle. The narrow road is walking with God in that relationship. And it's hard. It is hard, but it's worth it. To be successful in training in areas, there has to be a balance between learning, training and not retraining or relaxation. A competitive runner, which I run 5K races not as often as I should, but I do that, and you learn about different ways to run and breathe and train, and you learn how to, then you train, and then you have to make sure you're resting, you know, properly. It was good. A couple times I just was training every day, and it was just really not benefiting me that much. So it's the same thing with Christian. It's about a balance. It's balance of training, balance of Christian life. Now, this is something I learned several years ago. Everybody's probably heard God is my co-pilot. Well, that's kind of incorrect. John Maxwell, who does a lot of things on Christian finance, mentioned about a tandem bike. Go ahead and put the first picture up there. Tandem bike, she's having fun, huh? God is the one that's in the front, or should be the one up front. He's pedaling and he's steering. We're the ones supposed to be in the back seat, having fun, but we're following God. We're following Jesus. We don't even have to steer. We don't want to steer because he's the one that's steering. And John Maxwell actually went on to saying that, you know, God or Jesus kind of gives you like gifts to throw out along the way, you know, for you to use and then you to give out. But that's how it should be. It shouldn't be like this next picture. That doesn't work. So sometimes that the one on the right's God and that's us on the left, and we're pedaling the wrong direction and we're steering the wrong direction. It took me a little while to find that picture, but it was really, really interesting. So point number one tonight is living spiritually balanced in the mind. Living spiritually balanced in the mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance to what the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. There are many times we struggle in the mind. I believe the key there is verse 5, where it says, those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It sounds easy. It really sounds easy, but it's not. It really isn't, you know. And if you think you're the only one going through it, you're not. Everybody goes through their own struggles and different things. So first thing is they have their mindset. Then they live it. When you're training for something, you have your mindset that this is your goal. Every year I want to beat my own record, and I always run at the same time every year. And it kind of irritates me. But you have your mindset, and this is what my goal is. And my goal is to walk with Jesus. I want to be or ride on that bike, that tandem bike with Jesus, and let him steer, and let me enjoy the pleasures of the ride. So it's not I'm not really into the name it, claim it totally, and I don't think anybody else is to the extreme that some people take it to, but I believe that we can name it, claim it to a certain bit. We need to believe, you know, this is what my goal is, and I believe that I'm going to do it with the help of Jesus. With the help of Jesus. Some people get carried away with that, and I don't want to get mentioned into it. Paul mentioned that he had a thorn in the flesh. A lot of theories about what this thorn in the flesh was. Some say it was his eyesight piece. In a later verse, it mentions about how, you see how big I write, you know, and some say that was because of the lack of light that he had while he was in jail. Some said it was because of that. We're not exactly sure. But he called it an affliction. In his mind, he decided not to dwell on that affliction. God was bigger than that affliction. God was bigger, and God is still bigger than that affliction. And we know Paul was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, evangelists of all time. Imagine what he would have done in today's society with vehicles. And stuff, you know, he just instead of walking.
I thought this was interesting, and I don't know if this is legitimate stats or not, but an average person's anxiety is focused on 40% things that will never happen. 40% of things that will never happen is what we focus. We can't change that. 30% is what has happened in the past. We can't change that. 12% is on the criticism by others, whether it's true or not true. 10% is about health, with when you stress about the health, your health gets worse. So you're kind of working against yourself there. And the only one that is actually a legitimate thing is 8% about real problems that will be faced. But we can't change that. We run into problems. This lady at the school has breast cancer. She has that, you know, but she's not dwelling on the sickness. She's dwelling on the healer. She's dwelling on the victory. I'm not sure the source of this was, but it says, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. I'm going to say that again because it's really cool, and I just found out today. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Wow. That's just incredible. You know, that's just incredible. Point number two is living spiritually balanced in your talk. So number one was in your mind. Number two is in your talk. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. A lot of times we might have our mindset to go forward. And again, I believe that's the biggest part is that mind, having that mindset that this is what I want to do. And then our mouth just kind of goes off and does its thing. And because our mind isn't staying focused. We're not staying focused and say, God, keep me quiet sometimes. Don't let me say stuff that I shouldn't be saying. You know, and a lot of us have trouble with that, whether it's really horrible or just little stuff, you know, here or there. So, again, only what is helpful for building up others. That will be benefit for those who listen. Talk or speech, I think, also applies in today's society in social media. You know, even though it's written, I'm going to put it in the same category as talk. You know, sometimes we say stuff, post stuff on social media that we shouldn't be saying, you know, and then it ends up hurting people. Now, there are some people that no matter what you say, they're going to take offense of it. So I'm not necessarily including those because you may say something, you know, Christian. And it may. But, yeah, I think talk also includes not only what we say verbally, but what we write in society. At work, and I probably shouldn't do this, but at work, if I do a fireworks show, I always have to warn the people that are around me. I said, if you hear me say, oh, idiot, that's me talking about myself. And I don't mean it. I don't ever mean it to myself, but I just did something stupid. And I'm like, oh, idiot. And I know you're not supposed to say negative things, and I don't take myself wrong, so I don't get mad at me. I don't know. I just get over it. I get over stuff like that real quick. I did something wrong, so then I'm like, you know, because I go to do something and I'm like, hold it. I just did two steps here or three steps here when I could have just done one step. So I just kind of wasted my own time. So, and I told people the only other time I might call someone an idiot is if they cut me off in traffic, but I say it, but I don't say it loud enough for them to hear me. So, and I probably shouldn't say that either, and I don't really mean that either. So anytime the word idiot comes out of my mouth, it doesn't really mean, you know, because it wasn't really about them, it was about their action. And sometimes I do the same thing that they did. You know, we go to make a turn, I'm like, oh, I didn't see them coming. So anytime I say idiot, I don't mean it. I don't think. All right, I'll have to examine my heart there. All right, so Luke chapter 6, starting with the 43rd verse. Again, talk. This is about talk. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of what's stored in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That's the key part of it. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If we're full of negative stuff, we're going to say that's what's going to be coming out of our mouth. There's a lot of people that just, you know, there was some people at work that I kind of, they're not both there. One of them still is, and he still reminds me of them. You guys remember the old guys in the Muppets that sit up in the thing and they just complain and they sit there and heckle the people? That's what these guys remind me of. The two guys, they're a fun bunch of guys and we need to be positive what we think and we need to be positive what we say. Another thing that I just found today when I was just finishing up my sermon is another cool thing by a person named Dave Willis, who I'm not familiar with. Be an encourager, and I actually posted this in the church website and church Facebook page and my Facebook page also. Be an encourager. The world has plenty of critics. Be an encourager. The world has plenty of critics. Think about that. Wow, that's all you hear a lot of times is the people just complaining and complaining out there about different things. So last point, number 3, living spiritually balanced in your walk. If our mind is set and we're going forward and we keep our mind set and we can control that tongue, I don't remember if it was Paul that said that, but somewhere in the Bible it says that the tongue could be like the oar of a ship that is little, but it controls rudder of the ship. Thank you. I knew that I said that wrong when I said it. It controls the ship, but it's really little, but it controls it. Our tongue sometimes controls us and our mind. So we sometimes have our mind set, then all of a sudden we say something, and now our mind has gone over here. So instead of going this way, our mind, you know, our tongue causes us to go off to one of the sides or the other. Galatians chapter 5 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." We're called to be free. "Do not use your freedom to indulge in flesh. Rather, serve one another and humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. You are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." So 3 key points there. In verse 15, it says you were called to be free. In verse 14, it says love your neighbor as yourself. And in this verse 16, it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit." When we walk, again, we have our mind focused. And while we're walking, if we're walking in the Spirit and we have our mind set on Him, that mouth won't get in the way if we're really keeping it there. If you notice, in this short passage of these 4 scriptures, Paul was talking about a lot of negative stuff. You know, if you you got the good stuff and you got the bad stuff. If you you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the flesh. But then the flesh is there. And he mentions about the flesh and how it's contrary to the Spirit. And, you know, let's not indulge in the flesh. You know, we're called to be free. Paul did that a lot in his writings that he did throughout his many books that he wrote about good things and bad things. Good things and bad things. Because Christianity isn't just a walk in the park. If it was, that road would be a lot wider and it would be so much easier. I hear so many people that you run into, you know, you've probably felt, you heard the same things. Well, I believe in God. You know, or I'm a good person. You know, that's not the narrow thing. It doesn't matter if you're a good person. It doesn't matter if you believe in God. Because one of the verses says, and I drawing a blank where it is, but even God, even the demons believe in God and shudder. So belief in God isn't where it is. You could have every single person in this world believe in God, but if they don't live it, you know. And it's, again, I don't want to make it sound like it's all, because I grew up in the legalistic Christianity, you know, somewhat, where, you know, you had this, had to do this, you had to do this, you couldn't do this, you couldn't go to movies, you couldn't listen to rock music, you know, which, you know, and I listened to Christian rock. But, and I'm not saying anything necessarily wrong with secular rock, but just watch, you know, what you're taking in, because Christian rock, at least, you know, there's a good message, you know, going there. I liked a lot of different Christian music, but it's about balancing, you know, realizing, knowing what is bad and staying away from those bad things and staying on that narrow road and not allowing these things to distract us, to pull us off. And sometimes these things could be people trying to pull us off. It could be loved ones trying to pull us off. And we can't allow that to happen. Another phrase that I don't know who the author was says, and I thought this was actually kind of funny, and here comes that word again I used earlier, and don't take offense, but it says, I found the key to happiness, stay away from idiots. Okay, so again, pardon the harshness of that, but when I heard of that, it's basically we need to stay, and it's not the idiots, we just need to stay away from those people that bring us down. We need to stay away from situations that bring us down. If you know that when you're going to go to this particular place, that it's a temptation, stay away from it. If you know anything that, you know, I don't want to bring up any situations right off, I can't even think of any right offhand that, you know, in general, but stay away from them. You know, if you're on a diet, you don't want to go to a bakery, you know, or, you know, it doesn't help. It doesn't help. And that's the, you know, kind of a more fun way of looking at it, but it's the same thing about the other things in life. Something brings us down. Matt, or you guys, if you could come, please. We sang tonight, I'm going to see a victory, and we're going to sing that in a bit. Did we really mean that when we were singing it? Are we trusting in the victory? Are we trusting in that victory? Then we sang, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Is that true? Do we live in control of fear or anxiety? Or do we live in addictions? Or we live in struggles that are... great, my thing just came up. There we go. Are the physical or mental or spiritual or financial situations, are we, those struggles, are we living in those? And we're just like, I'm in it. So I might as well just keep on walking. Well, that's not what, we're supposed to be on that tandem bike with Jesus driving, us following. We're not, if we're struggling, I don't think we're on that bike. And again, I don't think the situations are all go away. But as I said with that percentage thing, a lot of times we're looking in the past, and that's controlling us. A lot of things that all, and we're looking in the future and something that we can't control. Something that someone said or something someone did or whatever. We can't control these things. But if we look at that and just kind of make that decision, I can't control that. But the hurt that came from it, the struggle that came from that, God could heal that. God wants to heal that. We also sang the My Feet Are on the Rock, and it talks about the storms around us. And I could just kind of picture us standing on that rock, and that rock is Jesus. Storms coming all around us. And I just kind of picture, as I'm saying this, the waves just coming up. The waves just coming up. And they're around us. Because Jesus didn't say those storms wouldn't be there. But he would be with us in that storm. He would be with us in that storm. If you guys would go ahead and play See Your Victory, please. When we look, when we focus on our situations, our struggles, we look away from Jesus. Maybe we're not looking totally away from Jesus, but it's kind of like when Peter was walking on that water. Oh, he was doing so well, and I don't know how long he was doing so well, and all of a sudden he looked down at his situation, and his situation was that water. He took his eyes off, and he didn't take his eyes too far off, but it was off enough, he started to sink. And then he said, oh, Jesus, save me, and Jesus saved him. If you would think about what he, now, we don't want to criticize Peter for doing that because at least he stood out in the water. At least he took that step. No one else did. You know, and so I applaud him for that. And I don't really discredit him for looking away from Jesus. He's as human nature. Hold it. I'm not supposed to be walking on this water. I'm not really supposed to be physically able to do this. And all these things start coming in our mind. And we took our mind off of Jesus. We took our eyes off of Jesus. We took our eyes off the situation of Jesus. And we took the situation of that storm, the struggles around us. We must keep our eyes on Jesus. If we want to see a victory, we must live a balanced life, a balanced spiritual life, and all the other areas of that. You know, we need to live balanced lives too. But in regards to spiritual life, we need to set our minds on Jesus. We need to talk the talk. We need to walk the walk. Everything's going to fall into place. The situations will still be there. The situations will still be there. But Jesus is still there. Jesus is still there, and that's the thing that counts the most. Jesus is in charge of that if we let him. He's in charge of anything if we just let him. We're going to sing that tonight. See a victory. If you would stand, please.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the
struggling in one of these areas that I mentioned. And all you have to do is make that decision right where you are. But I do want to keep the, all altar open that if you want prayer for that. It's as simple as you saying right where you are, God, I'm being on that narrow road. I'm going to be on that tandem bike with you. I want you to lead. I want you to be in charge of my situation, my struggles, Lord, and my situations, Lord. I want my mind set on you. I want to talk about things that are beneficial to others. I want to walk that life. I want to walk on that narrow road. Lord, you can make that decision right where you are, and you will walk out of this place more victorious than you did when you came into this place. But if you need prayer, you can come up here. I will pray with you. But just make that decision tonight. If you need to make that decision, make it. If there's a specific thing in your life that you know you're struggling with, give it to God right now. Give it to God right now. We're going to see a victory in that area tonight. When we wake up in the morning, you're going to see a victory in that area. Monday, when you wake up. Tuesday, every day, as long as we keep on doing the things we're supposed to, setting our minds on Him, living in faith, we're going to see that victory. Jesus, I'm going to see a victory.
I'm going to see a victory.
Anybody need prayer?
I'm
going to
see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the
tonight. We ask you to be with those who are watching on Facebook Live, Lord, that may need that touch. Lord, I ask you to touch those here that need that touch, those there on Facebook, where at their homes or wherever they are, Lord, that they're touched, but that they're touched in the name of Jesus, and that they receive that victory, Lord. Let them not let Satan bring that situation back up, Lord, that struggle back up, Lord, but that we can learn to live in victory through that situation, in that situation, and then, God, if you want that situation to be gone, it'll be gone, Lord, because you are the God that heals. You're the one that takes things away from us, Lord, that frees us, Lord. We're not going to accept that these things stay in our life, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, as we go our separate ways, Lord. When we go our separate ways, Lord, that we just go in you. We go in your victory, Lord. Let us keep our mind on you. Each and every day, Lord. We thank you for the ones that came out tonight, Lord. And I wish so many more were here, Lord. And I know the ones that were here, there was a lot of people here, if not, you know, there's a lot of people here that needed this word tonight. I know because you gave it to me, Lord. You gave it to me, Lord. Help us to walk in victory, Lord. That you would be glorified through our life, through our speech, through our actions, through our love. Oh, thank you. Jesus. 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 And we can say that we're blessed, not favored.